Blog Talk Radio.
On tonight's episode of Confession. Session?
Sha'Carri Cruz slapped the shit out of D.L. Hughley, he says on Twitter. Tia Marie revenge porn case is dismissed. I hope she's not back with Akbar and his entourage. And defamation suits are awarded in high amounts. What's good, guys? It's your host, Angel Vandrina.
And I'm your host, Jenna Bello. And you are listening to the one and the only Confession Session.
Hey, 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 hey. What up, Jen? What's
you are
on?
So goofy. Nothing. I am a little under the weather today. So I had to
you
call
sick?
My work. So. Yes, yes, nigga, I don't know what's going on. I just been, you know, I've been in and out of, you know, urgent care and hospitals the past, you know, a few weeks. I don't know if I told you, but I don't know if it's stress. Like, I go and then they say nothing's wrong, but it's like I feel like I'm in pain, you know, so I don't know if it's like the weight gain, yeah, or what's going on, but yes, y'all know, I don't feel too good. Don't feel too great today, but, you know, I'm here. We're going to make it through, you know. How was your week?
Mm-hmm. My week was pretty straight. My weekend was excellent. My mom, she had my kids all weekend. And she actually just brought them back. And, like, as she just brings them back, my little sister calls me, like, 2 minutes ago, like, you know we're supposed to get 15 to 20 inches of snow tomorrow. Where are all the kids at? I'm like, my mom just brought all the kids home. Well, all the schools are closed, so they should have just stayed over mom's house. And I'm like, I don't think Giovanni's school is closed. Next thing you know, my husband literally just like 2 seconds ago texted me like, yeah, all the schools are closed. He should have stayed with your mom. And I'm like, well, shit, I might be calling on tomorrow anyways because it's just too much. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Are they still going to try to make y'all go to work with 15 or? Are they still
we don't know.
Go to work with 20 inches of snow? That's crazy.
I don't know. Like, see, because I'm a contract employee, I don't want to just be calling off and shit like that because my job is not that far from the house. But obviously, if I can't make it to work, then I just won't go in. But then, to me personally, that means I'm going to have to work, you know, 10-hour shifts all week long, and I don't want to work 10-hour shifts, so I'm definitely at least going to try to get to work to log in, if anything, and then figure out what I'll do from there. I plan on having a half day anyways tomorrow and leaving around noon, so I have to take my ring back because one of my diamonds fell out, so I have to go get that done. But you know, obviously, if it's 20 inches of snow, my black ass ain't going to be doing a damn thing. You know, so we'll just have to see what happens. Hopefully my husband calls off and he's just home with the kids. But I'm not really sure right now. But we just have to see. Because obviously if it's too much snow, you know, and 9 times out of 10, you know, he has a really nice Beamer and all. But, like, his Beamer can't do a damn thing in the wintertime. I'm glad he ain't listening to the show right now either. But he always gets stuck. He always need help getting pushed. People been trying to lecture him. Like, I've been telling these young boys about these cars. They look nice, but you don't have four-wheel drive. You know, he been getting lectured. He been getting just stuck. So, and I know his ass ain't going to be able to go nowhere tomorrow. We had 20 inches of snow. So, meanwhile, I'll be able to back out like, let me just go ahead and do what I got to do. So, he might be stuck on anyways tomorrow.
Do you have four-wheel drive on your car?
I do.
See, that's lit.
Yeah,
and that's what I next car that I get, I definitely want to get a truck with four-wheel drive because it's just insane. Like, I usually, when we have, even though we definitely don't have snow that bad, but it's like any kind of snow, the whole triangle just shuts down. So, like, last time, I want to say I called out one day, and then one day I ended up lifting to work, like just XL lifting. So, and that worked out. But, yeah, when I get another car, I definitely want something, just an actual, SUV that can get me around that I feel more comfortable in compared to, you know, my little Malibu child. Because I have slipped in the snow down here. Like, my car swerved, and I hit, like, the railing once. This was, like 5 years ago, but, yeah.
Mine, too. I had that Nissan Altima, and that shit spun 3 times onto oncoming traffic and smacked up against a snow mound. And don't get me wrong, I was driving, 40 miles an hour when I probably should have been driving 10. But I was trying to get somewhere, and my spun out of control. And this was about 2 years ago, and I smacked up. And I was frightened, And I from that day on, I realized I would never have another Nissan Altima, even though it was my fault. And they're really good cars, but in the snow, they fucking suck. A good car in the snow is definitely a Volvo. I've driven my Buick. I've had a wonder. My Buick, it was amazing in the snow. It did such a great job. Barely, and the way it tried to ski in the snow, it really held back, and you could feel it holding back. Mm-hmm. You could feel the traction. So I love that. And then my Volvo, it was just excellent. And then the truck I have now, my Beamer, I do feel it. I do feel it sliding here and there. I do have 4-wheel drive. And it slides here and there, but it's just as good as my Volvo, I would have to say, because it do have 4-wheel drive. I love it in the snow. It's definitely not like my Altima. My Altima literally slid all over town. It was horrible. It was horrible. So
not slid all through the town.
All through the path. It slid down the yellow brick road. I'm trying to let you know, all through the damn road. I mean, it was horrible. So yeah, just from our end, Jim, what kind of car do you have?
I have a Malibu, a Chevrolet Malibu.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's a Malibu, yeah. And so you said, it's not that good in the wintertime because you don't have 4-wheel drive?
No, right, it's not. Like, I will get stuck anywhere. I mean, I've never gotten stuck because I know.
It's
like,
just probably because of the car, though, too.
I'm not like one of those people to where I try it. Like, I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm going to see if I can go to work tomorrow. Like, luckily, I work at a hotel, so if I know it's going to snow the next day, I end up just spending the night at the hotel usually. But this time, Chris ended up having to go to work, and I had the dog. And I was just like, well, either I could bring my dog, and my dog stay in the hotel room, and I go. And they're just like, well, we're not certain, And I was just like, well, I'm not coming in. So, and that, it did end up getting bad. Everybody that did drive end up getting stuck. Like my stepmom that lives here, she got stuck. Her car got stuck or whatever. So yeah, so
why?
I did not
just make
be
you
want to
leave.
Mm-mm.
Just
leave
go somewhere hot. The state.
Oh right.
Go somewhere hot where it's never where there is no snow.
Right. Okay. Yeah, but I mean, it's not, we only have to deal with it a couple times a year here, like where it snows, like maybe once or twice. I think it's only snowed once this year. But yeah, when it does, the whole city shuts down, so it gets annoying as fuck dealing with it.
I agree, guys. It is annoying as fuck in Jen's words. But before we get into our hot topics, don't forget to check us out on Instagram, YouTube, SoundCloud, Anchor, and, of course, this podcast from Blog Talks and those confessions to confessions, the number 2 us@gmail.com. And don't forget to like, comment, rate, subscribe, tag us in the drama, and let us know what you'd like to hear. Before we get into those hot topics, Jen, do you want to go ahead and hit that with that young confession question of the day after that sparkle?
Absolutely, absolutely. Do you prefer your spouse to be fake friendly with you or to be real? Again, do you prefer your spouse to be fake friendly with you or to be real? Let's get into those confessionals, Miss Angel Fondrina.
All right, y'all. Okay, guys, so according to News1.com, Terry Crews has had enough of being bullied by the likes of Tariq Nasheed, I think it's Nasheed, 50 Cent, and especially D.L. Hughley. The actor laid into the comedian after a back and forth on Twitter. Terry wrote on Twitter, just a few hours ago today, I have looked up to you my whole career, as one of the funniest, most talented people I have ever seen. I remember when I saw you warming up the crowd at Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and I thought, this man is a genius. But now you are an example of when comedy turns to sarcasm and sizzle and cynicism. And you find it extremely easy to get jokes at someone else's expense. You mock my success, but all I have ever done was support you. He continued, you at 50 Cent, at Unclear Rush, and at Tyrek and Nasheed have decided my sexuality or my sexual assault was hilarious. Whereas there are a whole generation of black women and men who don't think it's funny. Abusers protect abusers, but they mock survivors as well. When you see me, keep it moving. Cruz asked Hughley if he was implying that he wanted to be sexually assaulted, to which the comedian responded, you saw the video. Cruz wrote, sir, you said I should have pushed him back or restrained him, and I did all those things, in all caps. But you act like I didn't. Were you there? Hughley tweeted, there's a difference. That's different than slapping the shit out of him. Cruz tweeted right back, if you truly feel that is the correct way to deal with the toxic behavior, should I slap the shit out of you? He added, what happened to me has happened to many, many other men in Hollywood. And since I came forward with my story, I've had thousands and thousands of men come to me and say, me too. This is my story. But I did not have the confidence, or I did not feel safe enough to come out, because what happens to you? You get blacklisted. Your career is in danger. After that, no one wants to work with you. This is absolutely, in my opinion, disgusting that he has been getting treated this way and made fun of. I understand what happens when you're a comedian and you think that some certain things are funny, but for this man to sit up here and tell his truth and be honest, and he getting all of this, like, people are making fun of him and what has happened to him. You know, if I came out and I said what happened to me and people, they thought it was funny and made a joke, I probably would lose my goddamn mind. So I really personally feel like Terry Crews is strong, and he really should. And I know you love D.L. Hughley Jr., but he should slap the shit out of him, because it's not fucking funny. It's not funny. What is your thoughts on
it? Yeah, no. Yeah, don't get me wrong. Like, I fuck with D.L. Hughley, but wrong is wrong. I definitely feel like the fact that they're making fun of this man for talking about something that's real, people taking advantage of their higher authority, whether it be with a man or with a woman, it does happen. Mm-hmm. I can see, you know, that being a situation where you are someone of influence and you may be whatever you do, and you know that basically because you got enough money and enough opportunity, you can do whatever you want. Like, we hear about it all the time. I'm sure, like Terry Crews said, he's not the first, he's not the last. There are, I'm positive, many of men in Hollywood have gotten hit on. Charlamagne has talked about it. Like, he jokes about it and calls and says, men too. Like, saying, like, you know, that you do end up getting put in these compromising situations by people that can make or break your career. You know, it's Hollywood. They call it Hollyweird. So
yeah.
I'm sure there are a lot of people that are fluid and they do a lot of crazy things, and, you know, drugs come into play and whatever it may have you, and they are testing the boundaries with men that they know are straight, you know, thinking that if they do whatever they want, they can provide this opportunity, because I'm sure that Terry Crews is not the first. Obviously, if you're so bold to walk up on Terry Crews' big black ass, he's not the first big black nigga that he's walked up to and groped, that this little white man has walked up to and groped. You know what I'm saying? So I just feel like it's just out of order that they're making fun of him. Like, 50 Cent talked about it too. Didn't he joke and say how Diddy asked to take him shopping and, you know, all this stuff? And he always talks about how, like, Diddy's gay. Like, clearly he knows something that we don't know. You know, so why is that funny? For, I mean, it is sexual assault. Is it not? Like, the man got gross.
Exactly.
What he said wasn't cool. It made him uncomfortable. And the fact that it was in front of his wife, you know what I'm saying? Like, you feeling, like, defenseless, and you knowing that if you were to make a scene, you would end up getting arrested because you are black. You will end up getting blacklisted, and then your money runs dry. So what you just gonna have to deal with? You're a heterosexual married man. You have to worry about some little white dude who ain't shit walking up to you and grabbing his dick whenever grabbing your dick whenever he feels like it. Like it's
right.
not it's not cool. Like, so I don't understand what the big joke is. If he felt violated and offended, I don't see who wouldn't, what guy wouldn't. Me, as a gay man, if that was to happen to me, that would have set me the fuck off, too.
Exactly.
Like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, it's not funny. I agree with what Terry Crews is saying. It's not a joke. And I do believe that Terry Crews will beat all them niggas the fuck up at the end of the day. So
yeah,
they need to
yeah,
relax.
Sure
that's
would.
A huge dude. He like he don't play
I
no
agree.
Games at all.
None. He definitely and if they keep on, he really don't fuck shit out of him. So please just relax, calm down, be humble, and understand that this situation can happen to anybody, anywhere. So, I mean, even D.L. Hughley as a grown man can, you know, it can happen to him. So, you know, he just needs to understand that everybody's different. Everybody was raised differently. Things happen to everybody differently. And, you know, it's not funny. Certain things, you know, you can joke about, but certain things, you know, when you're targeting people and you're targeting their, you know, them coming out, being honest about things that happened to them in their life, you know, just be sensitive to the fact because it could happen. If it's not happening to you, it can also happen to your son or your daughter, you know what I'm saying, or has happened. And just understand that, you know, things are, it can happen once, it can just happen, and it's sad. And hopefully, obviously, I hope it does never happen. I hope he never has to feel that pain of his child or him in general going through something like that. But, you know, he should just keep an open mind. You know, certain things is just not to be joked around and fucked with, period. All right, y'all, we're going to go ahead and go on to the next topic.
All right, y'all, next topic. And this is according to TheShadeLeaf.com. Roommates, many of us have become invested in Khalif Browder's story and his justice after learning he took his own life after becoming a victim of a failing Khalif was 16 years old when he was arrested and forced to spend hundreds of days in solitary confinement. He spent 3 long years in jail. When he was finally released, he said he wasn't the same as when he went in. The charges that were brought against him were dropped in 2013 upon his release. Ever since his arrest and then his suicide, his family has been fighting for his justice. They have recently settled with New York City for $3.3 million in his wrongful death. Case. It's a bittersweet that the city had a chance to settle the case while he was alive or before his mom passed away. Khalif's attorney, Paul Prestia, said, but I hope his surviving family members can take some justice from this. He was a hero whose story touched so many people around the world, and I'm thankful he was a part of my life. He changed the criminal justice system. The family believes the settlement is fair and reasonable. Tampa Rubenstein, the Browder family attorney said, but they hope that his memory will be honored with the reforms that still have to take place within our system. May Khalif Browder rest in peace. What do you think, Ms. Angel Vondrina?
I think that it's sad, you know, that, you know, based off of what he went through and, you know, the justice system and how he came out, that he did commit suicide. I hate when I hear stories about people committing suicide because I always feel like if they would have just waited a little bit longer, things could have changed. Their life could have changed. Things just could have been much more different. I am glad that they were awarded the amount of money because they were awarded, what, $3.3 million, you said, Jen?
Yes.
Yes. I think that that's wonderful that they were awarded that amount of money. I hope that this is you know, just something that they can, I hope this is a lesson. I hope that, well, I won't say a lesson, but I hope that other people, they can learn from, you know, what has happened here. And in that sense, I mean by, I just really hope that people, they learn that, you know, you don't, this is not the way to go, you know, and that, you know, you can always come out of whatever funk you're in, you know. But ultimately, they deserve this this $3.3 million, and I just hope that this never has to happen to another soul. What is your thoughts on this, Jen?
I agree with what you're saying. Definitely. I watched the documentary, and what the Browder family has been through, it is terrible. It's something I could never imagine.
Horrible.
We all know, you know, by now, or at least we should, the injustice that Khalif had to go through, the fact of him being held for 3 years in jail, and I think that it was like 200 and something days that he was in solitary confinement, which is ridiculous when they say that it's only, it takes 15 days to be in solitary confinement to end up being on the same level as torture. So we should have seen that when he came out, he was going to be a whole different person. He was basically crazy. You know, I'm sure he drove himself crazy. It gets to the point you sitting in the room all fucking day, you know, looking at four walls, no window. Like, that is enough to drive anybody to start talking to themselves and, you know, not being able to put all the pieces back together that they were before they went in. It's just a sad situation, and I definitely feel like they deserve much more, but hopefully that this is something to help the family continue to fight for getting rid of some of these laws that have been put into place to further wrongfully convict black men, for one, to persecute them the way that they have. Like, I think the fact of, it was just so many things with the story. The fact that he was in jail. I forgot the story. I'm so sorry, y'all. But it was bullshit, basically. The reason why he was in there that long, the fact that he got this high amount of bail, like, it was just so many things that we should have paid attention to, and we didn't. But yeah, prayers up to the family. I know he lost the mother, Khalif's mother. She passed away not too long ago. So I think now it's just the brothers. So hopefully they are able, and the sister too. Hopefully they are able to, you know, use of money. I know money isn't everything, but hopefully puts them in a better situation to, you know, provide for their lives and then to also further get the message out of his story. But, yeah.
I agree, guys. We're going to go ahead and move on to the next topic from here. Prayers up. All right, you guys. So, according to MadamNoir.com, it looks like another L for singer and reality star Tierra Marie, as a judge has dismissed her revenge porn lawsuit against ex-boyfriend Akbar Abdul-Ahad. It's so much drama, y'all. So let's just start with this. Just a few weeks ago, a judge dismissed all charges against rapper 50 Cent, who was named in the lawsuit for reposting the video of Akbar and reported to be 50 Cent's friend. He had originally posted this video of, I guess, the sex tape on social media. And Tierra Marie said that 50 Cent objectified, humiliated, and intimidated her by reposting the video. But a judge dismissed all claims and ordered her to pay $30,618 in legal fees to 50 Cent. The Blast now reports that a judge has thrown out the case in its entirety due to TT, her failing to prosecute her case. According to an official court document, the singer, who is represented by attorneys Lisa Bloom and Walter Mosley, failed to make an appearance in the court. Therefore, the judge completely dismissed the case and the claims against Akbar and closed the case indefinitely. Tia Marie originally claimed the leaked video of her performing a sexual act was a plan that 50 Cent and Akbar conspired to pull off to humiliate her. She even claimed that the video and images were altered so that it appeared that she had come or ejaculate on her face. Since news broke of 50 Cent being dismissed from the case, the rapper has taken to social media to furthermore antagonize Tierra Marie and instigate the situation. Fans defend Tierra Marie against the artist, who is known for repeatedly calling out other celebrities on social media. While 50 Cent has been extremely vocal about his victory, there has been no official statement from others involved in the lawsuit just yet, and no word as to why Tierra Marie failed to show up for her day in court. In my opinion, I feel like she's back with Akbar. I know how Scorpios are, and I just feel like maybe she got back with him, and that's the reason why she just didn't show up. You know, she's still getting fucked. He probably put that bug in her ear, like, yeah, you can be the fifth bitch, you know, in his entourage. Just do what you got to do. And she's just like, okay, you know, okay, all right. And that's why she didn't show up for court. There's no reason why she wouldn't have showed up for something this important if she wasn't messing around with him. From my point as a Scorpio, I feel like she would have definitely showed up if it was something that she wanted to do. If it was that important to her, you know, she would have definitely showed up. So, in my opinion, she was over it. She's still probably messing with him, and that's why she didn't show up, because she wanted the case to be dismissed for so he wouldn't be prosecuted, and that's the only way she could think of to make sure that her man, her boo, the dude who she's getting fucked by, don't go to jail. Your thoughts, Jen?
That makes sense. I mean, I don't know, because I feel like that would be the only reason why you wouldn't, you know, further pursue something that has been so heinous. And I feel like that's kind of fucked up that she still even want to deal with this guy after knowingly, for her to know that he released this video of her. I didn't know that she was saying that him and 50 Cent was in cahoots. To think if that is,
I
that's
didn't
crazy.
Either.
Like, why does he care so much about, you know, her sex life to want to blast out on the internet? Maybe, you know, he reached out to 50 Cent after the fact, but it's all just weird, you know. And then the fact that Lisa Bloom, her attorney, didn't even show up too, it's just like, clearly.
Yeah.
They said that Lisa Bloom is all for publicity and she's just hopping on everything that she can attach her name to for fame. But, I mean, if you're a lawyer and you're not showing up to court, and or maybe she's not getting paid, but to me, it looked like it was more so like a gratis kind of thing, like she did it for free for the publicity. So I don't know what's going on. You know, Tierra Marie got to be fucking a man in order for her to be dropping out of the case. But for her to want to fuck with someone who clearly is an opportunist and on some other shit is crazy, too.
Yeah, I agree, and that's the end of that button. That's crazy, though. That's nuts. That's nuts. Get it? All right, guys. We're going to go ahead and move on to that final topic of the evening.
All right, y'all. Last topic, and this is according to Refinery29.com. The ashes of Fyre Festival continues to smolder. While Fyre Media founder Billy McFarland is currently serving his 6-year sentence in federal prison for mail and wire fraud, civil suits are shedding light on more financial questions. Talent agencies representing big-name models who appeared in Fyre Festival's promo commercial are expected to receive subpoenas forcing them to reveal how much money was paid to them by McFarland, a Billboard report. Specifically, IMG Models, DNA Model Management, a Paradigm talent agency, may be ordered to provide proof of payments received by Fyre Media to a bankruptcy judge. Models in the commercial included Bella Hadid, Kendall Jenner, Hailey Bieber, and Chanel Iman, which featured them frolicking and swimming in the Bahamas. The models also posted photos from the commercial filming on Instagram and participated in broader social media promotions with paid posts. Jenner may also be forced to disclose more details about a $250,000 payment for a Fyre Festival-sponsored Instagram post. In the now-deleted post, she announced that members of Good Music record label were slated to perform and included a discount code for fans to purchase admission tickets. Jenner did not disclose that the post was paid and received a warning from the Federal Trade Commission, which mandates that such social media sponsorships must be disclosed to the public. The purpose of such subpoenas is to determine how much McFarland spent over $11 million of investor funds on the ill-fated Fest. This total doesn't represent money spent on the celebrity models. It also fees paid to caterers, service staff, and consultants. Gregory Messer has been named the trustee of Fire Media's bankruptcy, which includes Fire Festival and the Fire app, as well as celebrity booking on-demand venture. In total, Messer is expected to account for $26 million of Fire Media expenditures. Were you able to see the Fire Festival documentaries on Hulu or Netflix at all?
No, I was not. I was not able to see the documentary. And I'm really not familiar with it.
Are you familiar with anything as far as the Fire Festival?
No, I'm not. I feel like we've talked about it before.
I'm gonna tell you what happened. So with the festival, it was a supposed festival started by Billy McFarland, and then he got Ja Rule into cahoots with him. But it's supposed to be like this.
I remember we talked about that last year.
Yeah. It was going to be like this huge, like exclusive festival for like the ultra rich, like the super wealthy. We're going to be.
And it's making bologna sandwiches and shit.
Were, like, super expensive. You said what?
I said it was making like bologna sandwiches and like whack ass salad and just like $2 meals, like, and it was like horrible. They were paying all this money for cheap food, and it was just a mess, man. People was getting sued and shit.
Yeah,
I remember that story.
Yeah. But anyways, with the documentaries, there was one on Netflix. But they said the one on Netflix was kind of biased because it was made with the media consultants that the Fire Festival team had used, like Fuck Jerry. I think Fuck Jerry was like part of the documentary. So basically it put the blame only on Billy McFarland, and it made it seem like he was all of his doing, and they were just following his orders. Don't get me wrong, he definitely was to blame, but I like the Hulu, because it was two different documentaries, one on Hulu as well, but Hulu's documentary basically told all the tea. They were just saying that Ja Rule was aware of everything that was going on, that, you know, the marketing teams that he had used, they were telling him, like, this is not going to work. Everybody's saying all this. But they were still going along with it because he was telling them to go along with it. So they had as much to blame as well. They knew from the beginning that the festival wasn't going to work out because I think they only had, like, 4 months to do the festival. And it ended up, like they were suggested for what they needed, it would be like an 18-month kind of construction sort of deal. They basically, like, built this whole festival on hopes and dreams. Like, they use, like, what we know. If you have influencers, you can basically sell anything. You know, they got the 10 top supermodels with millions and millions of followers to come to the Bahamas, and they basically just filmed them just partying, hanging out, chilling, drinking, you know, just being ugly. And all they had to do after that was post everything that they were doing there, attach the name Fire Festival to it. So the people looked at it as, okay, I'm going to go see this great talent. I'm going to be able to kick it with these models because I got enough money too. It ended up not working out. Like, and they knew from the beginning that it wasn't going to work out, and everyone still went along and did it up until the day of. Like, I want to say, like, the day before the concert, it was like this huge thunderstorm, rainstorm, where everything got washed away, everything got ruined, and they still didn't cancel the event. Like, it was still just like, fuck it. Like, we're just going to try and make do. So they had thousands of people on this island with nowhere to put them. You know, they had these, I think it was like emergency tents that they had built for them. And that was like pretty much it. And what you had saw, like the sandwiches, it was just a whole terrible ordeal. And people looked at it as, it's almost funny because they wanted to see, you know, rich people, rich white people in particular, basically suffer. And I guess feel like the rest of the world. But, I mean, what they did to them people was wrong. Not only to
yeah,
the,
I agree.
To I attended the event. It was also the staffing. None of the staff got paid. It was a restaurateur, like, from Bahamas, who I think she said she put $50,000 of her own money into hiring people to be able to just cook something for them. And that's why you saw, like, the sandwiches or whatever. And she never got any money back. They owe thousands of dollars to the locals to help build infrastructure that they were able to build, a little bit that they were able to build. They never got money for that. And meanwhile, Billy McFarland is back in his penthouse before he went off to prison. You know, so it's just insane to think, like, you can literally, if you have the right marketing, you can literally do whatever you want. Like, because we know the internet is not real. We know this stuff is not real. But if it's presented enough, if it's shown with enough legitimacy, you can basically sell anything. You know, and I was just watching it, like, wow, like, people didn't catch on to this. And I was thinking, I was like, would I have caught on to that? Like, if I was wealthy, knowing what I know now, and I was just like, I want to do this. I want to go to some ultra exclusive, whatever. And then you're not getting any of your accommodations. You asking them for, like, flight accommodations and all this. I don't think I would have went through all that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just finally he had a whole other business that ended up looking like a con, where he had basically, like, this low-level black card, like, for millennials, like, to where you could use this townhouse and you would get access to, like, these exclusive events by being a card holder. And I think you had to pay, like, a certain amount of money per year to be, like, the card holder. And it turns out, like, he didn't have access to all these events. He was lying. Like, the townhouse that he was using was not his. So I just find it, like, kind of odd that he was able to parlay that into Fire Festival. People still not catching on.
Yeah.
And then even after that, he was doing another con and people not catching on, like, using the same people from the mailing list, you know, to try and sell other shit. You know, it's just crazy, like. You know, it was just insane to me. But, I mean, that's just pretty much it. I guess we just have to be careful of where we're putting our money, you know, and pay attention when we are buying these things offline. But I was just shocked. I was just like, wow, really? Like, they're just like, okay, you know, you don't have accommodations for nothing, but they are going to send everybody an email now saying, like, this is a cashless event, so you have to put money on a wristband in order to, you know, buy stuff at the event. We suggest you put in $300 a day and they do it. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, wow. Like, if you all have not seen the documentaries, I suggest you watch them both. Definitely watch the Hulu documentary because, like I said, that one is not unbiased. If you do have Hulu, and also watch the Netflix one as well, too, because it's really good. I think, like, the one on Netflix that went more into his childhood up until everything that happened, I think Hulu was just, like, explaining, like, everybody's part in it, like, explaining and saying, like, you know, everybody had a part to play in it, like, from the model to whatever, because they was just looking at it. They didn't do any further investigation. They was looking at it as, like, a payday, you know what I'm saying? So this is really interesting, and definitely check it out.
All right, you guys, you heard it from the horse himself. Make sure you all check that out on Hulu. All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and go into our confession question of the day. Okay, guys, so I heard this question on, it was similar, a similar question. I heard it on The Breakfast Club. And pretty much it was a woman, and she was stating, you know, that her husband, he would act all funny at work, and then, you know, say hi, you know, that fake reality that you give people, you know, you smile, and, you know, you say, you know, just cheesy and ugly as hell. And she told her husband, like, you know, the way you act with them bitches at work, you know, in other words, I want you to act the same way with me. So do you prefer for your spouse to be fake friendly with you, like the way he acts at work, or to be real? Jean, what are your thoughts on this?
Time, like, if you are in a good space, then definitely, you know,
I would say be honest and communicate, but I think if it's just like y'all going through like a rough patch or whatever, like, you know, we can fake the funk and act like we happy together and, you know what I'm saying, and doing whatever to get past whatever it is that we're going through. And I do understand what she was saying by that. I think the Breakfast Club was replaying, it was a statement from, I cannot think of, something Baldwin, who's like an activist, and he was having a conversation with another lady who's an activist and ended up going viral. And she's basically just saying, like, lie to me, be like you said, lie to me, be fake with me, like how you are with these white men that you don't like at your job.
Yep.
Like, I think that's what the conversation was. So, I mean, I definitely get that. I definitely understand. You know, a lot of times I feel like we are more harsh with our spouses who have the, you know, mm-hmm. who cares the most for you than anybody else does, maybe or anybody else in the world. Like, we know all the time people ask you, how you doing today? You're always like, good. Well, you know you're not good. And if they say bad, you know they don't care if you are doing bad. You know what I'm saying? But we want to come home and yell at our spouses or have an attitude about everything that don't fucking matter. You know, so I get with what she's saying. Like, yeah, like, let's just be happy. Like, let's just make this a happy space. Like, of course, you want to be able to communicate with your spouse about your problems and everything that's going on. But at the same time, it should be some sort of solace, some sort of, like, forced happiness. If you're going to be, like they were saying, if you're going to be sitting, be fake and be happy with everybody else, you can come to this house and be fake and we be happy together and spend time together and, you know what I'm saying, have a good time. Like, I don't be wanting to hear all that bullshit, especially when I didn't cause it. Like I know my partner. Like, I know. Like, I can read the same, and he can do the same thing with me. Like, I can sit and read. He'll come home and be looking down, and it'll be something little that we get to argue about, and I'm just like, why are you taking the shit out on me when you know that this is not the reason why you're upset? And then it'll be like, you know, a day or two later, and we talk about it, we laughing about it, and he'll admit, like, what it was. And I'm just like, okay, well, if you wanted, like, 15, 20 minutes to talk to yourself and till you come and you collected yourself, then, like, let it be that. You know, but don't take that. You're not going to say that to these motherfuckers that's not paying your bills, that don't care about you like I care about you. Then don't bring that shit to me. So I get what she's saying. How did you feel?
I think that your point is absolutely excellent. I know I personally have a problem with that. I feel like my husband, he has the weight of the world on his shoulders because he's in school, we have these kids at home, and then he has to deal with me. You know, and I am probably one of the most difficult people in the world to deal with. I definitely am that individual who's fake as fuck at work, who sit up there and, hi, how you doing? And I'm a whole new person. And then once I get home, I'm just like, ugh, you know, like, you know, just a monster sometimes. You know, I can be just a monster. And I'm not afraid to admit that, you know, I got some growing up and some immaturing and, just some shit that I need to work on for myself. And my husband, he's the same way. You know, sometimes he'll come home, this fucking shit. And I'm just like, okay, well, you know, calm down. And the difference between me and him is that I can calm him down, you know, to the point where he's like, oh, thank you. I really needed that. But he can try and calm me down. But because I'm a bitch, it's really hard to calm me down, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm just stuck in my ways. I'm real bullheaded, even though I'm not a Taurus, and I really don't give a fuck about what anybody has to say. So I really do have to work on that. As far as being fake, I couldn't do it even if I wanted to. I'm not going to leave work and walk, oh, hi, to come home and be like, oh, hi. I just can't. You know, it just won't be happening. And honestly, I wouldn't want my husband to do it either. You know, I know how he is with them hoes and them punk-ass man at his job and, you know what I'm saying, how he's fake as fuck with them. And, you know, I don't want you coming home acting like that because you're not who you are, you know what I'm saying? And that's just how I am. I just prefer to be real. You pissed off about some shit, let me know what's good. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you how my day went. You're going to tell me how your day went. Sometimes I don't feel like talking about my day. Sometimes I just want to go home. You know what I'm saying? Relax. But You know, I prefer my spouse to keep it real with me. I don't want all that fake bullshit. And like Jen said too, like if you come home with an attitude, I come home with an attitude, it's really hard for me to get out of funk in my ways. But it's usually over, like it's just a few situations. Like we really don't argue over much. You know what I'm saying? Like it's only a few things that will cause us to get into like a heated argument. You know, and usually even after that heated argument, like a couple hours later, we good to go. Like we even got into like the dumbest, like small argument today over some stupid ass shit. And literally like 20 minutes after we were arguing, we was like, okay, watching ridiculousness being ugly. You know what I'm saying? So I do appreciate those moments where we do keep it real with each other, even though we both act bitch made at times. You know what I'm saying? Like, we aren't fake with each other. We aren't fake friendly. He says what the fuck he has to say. He gets the shit off his chest, and I'll do the same thing. And I can be just a little bit more light. Like, I'm real rude. I'm disrespectful. And I feel like that's one of the things that I have to work on as far as myself goes. Because if he leave me, nigga, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I'm going to date a woman. That's what I'm going to do. Just kidding. But that's pretty much it. That's all I have to say. So, Joe, before we go ahead and end the show this evening, is there anything that you'd like to confess your love to?
No, not today. I was trying to think, but I can't think of anything that's going on lately. Oh, maybe, like, I haven't experienced it yet, but I am thinking I'm still not going to be able to do Vegas in May. Because, like I said, it's my graduation.
Sad.
But I
am thinking
about going in March. Yeah, she graduates from high school. So I'm like, I can't, nigga.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. But as far as I'm thinking about going in March, because are you hearing about all these damn residencies? Like Monique has a residency that I want to see. They said Cardi B has a residency now in Vegas and Drake. So I feel like Vegas is about to get back lit. Like it's about to be like a lot of stuff to do. Like, and you know, I love
not
like,
in March. Are you fucking kidding me? Like seriously, I won't even have worked out for 4 full months in March. Okay, you're gonna have to come at least in April.
Okay, well I could do April. I could do April.
Oh, we finna be lit!
You so ugly. I could do April, and we're not staying at the Stratosphere, nigga. We're not staying at the Stratosphere.
Okay, where y'all staying at?
Nigga, no.
We can talk off air.
We all gonna stay at either the Venetian, Aria, like a cute hotel. The Stratosphere not even on the damn strip.
What? Okay, you know what? We'll talk about that when I get off the show. Okay, when the show ends, we will converse about that. But yes, that sounds like a lit ass time. Sounds like fun, and I'm looking forward to that. Okay, and the Stratosphere is the bomb. So I don't know why the fuck you tripping. But anyways, you know, whatever. And guys, I want to confess my love to this evening for working out. Okay, I've been working out for the last month so far since January 1st. I've been going in 6 days a week, my husband and I. I've been on a keto diet, primarily staying strong. I think the first 2 weeks, or the second week, I went to a party and I had like some chicken wings and stuff like that. But other than that, consistent, doing the work, and I haven't really seen a weight change in the scale. The scale still says the same. It's disappointing, but then when I try my clothes, my clothes fit me differently. So, you know, my husband, he has told me, like, you know, your body is changing as far as, like, you're gaining more muscle. You're in muscle weighs more than fat, you know. And I'm just like, I'm fat, but my stomach is flat again. You know, when I stand up, the bitch is flat. You know, when I sit down, I got a pudge. So I'm just looking forward to seeing what it gonna look like, you know, around April, May. And having a good time, going out to Vegas, living my best life, and hopefully kicking the bubble with Jen and Chris in Vegas. Oh, my God, that's going to be a blast. So, anyway, just confessing my love to the keto diet and just working out because it has made my life, honestly, a whole lot better, and I'm really looking and feeling the results, loving and feeling the results, and that's pretty much it, y'all. And that's all we have to say for the evening. Hey, guys, don't forget to check us out, and thank you for tuning in and listening. You all can hear from us next week, Sunday, February 3rd. It's already February! At the same time, 6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern. And we want to hear from you, so don't forget to like, comment, rate, subscribe, tag us in that drama, and send us those emails at confessions2us@gmail.com. This is your host, Angel Vandrina.
And I'm your host, General Bello. You're listening to the one and the only Confessions.
Good night, monkey.
Not monkey.